But the idea is today you'll find some message notes in the bulletin you received when you came in. If you're watching us online, you can just go to centeringlives.com and get the message notes there. But we like it that we have at least one day in the year when we can honor moms, because moms have an important role to play in families. And I want to give you a whole bunch of reasons why the Bible celebrates moms, and we think it's a good idea to celebrate them too. In fact, that's point A on your outline. It's good that we have a national holiday to honor our moms. And if you agree with that sentiment, would you say amen? Amen. Well, I'm going to give you some reasons from the Bible why that's true, not just my opinion. In Ephesians 6, for instance, the Apostle Paul says, honor your father and mother. And yes, dads, I know it says father, but we got a day coming up next month. Okay, so hang on. All right, honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you. That's one thing. And secondly, you'll have a long life on the earth. If you honor mom, life will go better for you. In the short run, because she is watching, okay? But in the long run, man, if you think about how many potholes we can step around if we listen to our mother's advice, and how that could change our trajectory when it comes to money, when it comes to romance, when it comes to our temper or our tongue. Whew. And some of you just have a longer life, especially when kids are small. Don't run out in the street. Don't drink that. Spit that out, okay? I mean, literally, with little kids. But even as we grow older, no, you're not going there. Uh-uh, we're not doing that. And it's all done to protect our children so they can have a better life and a longer life. And the Apostle Paul said, and he's quoting Exodus chapter 20. I mean, he's quoting the Ten Commandments. This is commandment number 5 of the Big Ten. And so today I want to unpack for you 5 reasons why it's so important we honor our moms, and then 4 ways we can do that. We're going to jump right in. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to be here today, and I just thank you for moms. And I thank you we have a national holiday that marks this occasion, and at least one day a year, we can celebrate them. We need to celebrate moms a lot more than that. And so, Father, I just pray that you will bless our time together, that you'll speak, you'll move me out of the way. We thank you that you give us your word. It's our guide in all matters of faith and practice, even how we can celebrate moms. So, Lord, speak to us today. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, here are 5. I'm going to give you 5 reasons, like I said, why it's important to honor our moms. The first is this: our moms help us know the Lord. I mean, this is really important for coming to faith. How am I going to know the Lord if somebody doesn't tell me? Well, who better to tell me than my mother and my father, in particular on Mother's Day, than my mom? Paul wrote to Timothy about this. He said, Timothy, I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I know that same faith continues strong in you. Man, Lois and Eunice got Timothy involved. And Timothy, man, he's got a whole book in the Bible. Think about that. Go Lois. Go Eunice. That name needs to be just, no. Anyway, but the whole idea is that, think about how important that is, that Timothy had a godly mom and a godly grandmother. I thank God for the times my mom invested in me spiritually. My goodness, I grew up on a farm in the middle of Kansas. We had chores to do before school, and we'd come in and we'd eat breakfast, and while we're eating breakfast, we had to hurry because the school bus was coming, and we had a quarter mile long driveway to walk to go get to catch the bus. I tell my kids that, and they go, yes, and it was uphill in the snow, and the wind was blowing. Yeah, I know. But the idea is that my mom, even though we only had a few minutes and we were just scarfing down food trying to get there, she would have a little devotional called Our Daily Bread. Has anybody ever heard of this? My mom would read that every morning, and she'd go, I want you guys to hear this one thought. And she had thought through it that day. She'd gotten up early, and she thought through how it could apply to us. And she said, I think this is how this can apply to you today. My mom, she was a farm gal. She was milking cows. She was taking care of 6 kids. Man, she was just going here, there, and everywhere, but it was so important to her. And then before we go to bed, we'd have some family devotionals, and she'd have these devotional books, and she'd read us Bible stories from them. Later on, when I went to college and surrendered control of my life to the Lord, man, all those seeds that my mom had sown in my life, it was just like God just supercharged them. Because my mom believed, and believed rightly, that a personal relationship with Jesus for each one of her children was the most important thing she could possibly model for us and pray for. This is important. It's the most important thing we can do. And for every mom in here, when you read a Bible story to your children, when you pray for your kids at night, when you take them to school and pray for them before they get out of the car, thank you. Psalm 78:4 will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power, about his mighty wonders. These are Bible stories. Is it important to read Bible stories to our kids? Yeah. Yeah. So the next generation might know them. Yeah. Even the children not yet born, and they in turn will teach their own children. So each generation should set its hope anew on God, not forgetting his glorious miracles, obeying his commands. Man, this is important. And moms, every time, even though you're bone-weary tired, and the kids want to read, hey, can we read a story? Can we read a story? You get that Bible storybook and read them a story again. Thank you. Charm is deceptive, and beauty doesn't last, but a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. And so moms are important, and we celebrate them because they help us know the Lord. By the way, for all the guys in here, each of these five steps would be something you could write about if this was instrumental, if your mom was instrumental, for instance, in that. That's something you could write about in that Mother's Day card. Because a lot of guys get the card from Hallmark, whatever Hallmark said, and they go, love, John. You know, that's it. Now you could write another sentence. Thanks for being a mom and introducing me to Jesus, for instance. You can, and don't write love, John. She won't know who that is. Okay, anyway, so, oh, thank you. Okay. Secondly, our moms worked hard raising us. Another reason we can honor moms is because mom, being a mom is hard work. That video intro was just, I mean, it's amazing. When you have multiple children, it's amazing. How many things go on? Everything from sitting in carpool lines to grocery shopping to take care of sick kids to, my goodness, hauling kids to school, the dog to the vet, paying the bills. All kinds of things are going on. Preparing dinner. She gets up before dawn. This is Proverbs 31. She gets up before dawn to prepare breakfast for her household and plan the day's work. She goes to inspect a field and buys it, or with the earnings, she plants a vineyard. She's energetic and strong, a hard worker. She makes sure her dealings are profitable. Her lamp burns late into the night. Her hands are busy spinning thread, her fingers twisting fiber. She extends a helping hand to the poor, opens her arms to the needy, stops by at Starbucks. No, I added that one, okay. She has no fear of winter for her household, for everyone has warm clothes. She carefully watches over everything in her household and suffers nothing from laziness. I mean, being a mom is early morning to late at night and a million tasks in between. Every time we do a parenting conference, sooner somewhere in that conference, there's a scripture. This is the end of Luke chapter 2 where Jesus is described as a young boy, and it says that as Jesus grew, he grew in wisdom and stature, in favor with God and favor with men. And this is a good little template for showing four dimensions where we got to raise our kids. I mean, this is true for Jesus. It's true for every kid. I mean, Luke kind of outlined it for us there. But wisdom, this is mentally. Our kids need to be challenged mentally. They need to do homework. Moms help with homework. I mean, it's important. They need to grow in stature. This is physically. This is everything from nutrition to sleep. Get that done and go to bed. Turn that off. You need sleep. I mean, even when I was in college and I'd come home, my mom would go, are you eating enough? And then she would send back a ton of food with me. I loved my mom. Anyway, favor with God. This is spiritually. We just talked about this. This is praying, reading Bible stories, making sure the kids are involved in a student ministry, whatever it is. Hauling them there to vacation Bible school. I mean, Camp Centerpoint this year. Making sure they're there, getting signed up for that. Favor with men, this is socially. advice on everything from dating to making sure you shake hands with a firm handshake and look somebody in the eye. I mean, this all matters. Moms do all this. I mean, some of you have heard me share before with our kids. I remember with one of our sons, we wanted to teach him how to date, and Debbie really wanted to help him get confidence in this, and so we had a practice date where he took my car and drove around the block and came and knocked on the door and picked up Mom like he was picking up somebody for a date. So we had him walk in. Debbie got in the car. They drove to a restaurant to go for dinner, and he got to the restaurant, and he got out and walked in and left her in the car. She sat there till he came back. He goes, Mom, you coming in? And she goes, I don't know. You can open the door for me? And therein was a lesson. Socially. I mean, getting our kids involved in student ministry, spiritually, and praying for them. Making sure they got good nutrition, get enough sleep, physically, mentally. You're doing your homework. Turn off the TV. This is all part of being a mom. I mean, this is something. It takes hard work. A lot of work. It's worth it. Raising the next generation. This is the way God wanted it. It's the way God planned it. And Paul says, you need to make a big deal out of that. Now, the next point, I'd like to switch points 3 and 4. So if you take your outline, go to point 4, I'm going to come back to point 3. I wrote it down. I was going, and I toyed around with that. I got it backwards. Anyway, so point 4. Our moms counseled us. They counseled us. When she speaks, her words are wise, and she gives instructions with kindness. I mean, moms can say all kinds of things at the right time. They see things going on and go, oh, no, you're not wearing that. Mm-mm. My wife still says that. Never mind, that's different. Okay. My son, obey your father's commands and don't neglect your mother's instruction. Keep their words always in your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you walk, their counsel will lead you. When you sleep, they'll protect you. When you wake up, they'll advise you. For their command is a lamp and their instruction is a light. Their corrective discipline is a way to life. I mean, so you can start seeing what's happening here. If we're going to raise our kids in wisdom and stature and favor with God and favor with man, well, they're going to have to know the Lord. It's going to take hard work. And it's going to take counsel. Lots of counsel. If your mom gave you good counsel, you can thank her for that today. Might have saved you from a friendship that would have ruined you. Might have given you advice about dating or something like that. Man, best advice you ever received. I'm grateful for the advice that my mom gave me, and I'm grateful for the advice that my wife has given our children. Now I go back to point 3. This is the other side of it. It's a two-sided coin with counsel. It's counsel and discipline. Our moms also disciplined us. I mean, what do you do when you want to teach them like Proverbs said, give them good counsel? When they sleep, it'll protect them. When they wake up, it'll advise them. The counsel is like a lamp. Well, what if they don't listen to the counsel? Well, you discipline them. I'm not giving you this counsel for funsies, okay? I'm giving this counsel to protect you from a bad relationship, from a terrible career choice, from dropping out of school. And no, I didn't help you with that homework. And the reason I didn't help you with the homework is you need to dig down deep and discover how much you've got in the tank. Do it. To discipline a child produces wisdom, but a mother is disgraced by an undisciplined child. Whew. Those who spare the rod of discipline hate their children. Those who love their children care enough to discipline them. If we don't discipline our kids, that first job is going to be a doozy. It will be. No, doing no favors. Our kids have all kinds of folly bound up in their hearts. We did, just like we did when we were kids. That needs to change. They need to learn some lessons, and how much better they learn it from us, because we love them. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. It's a proverb, not a promise, but I'm telling you, when we give good counsel and we discipline our kids and we model hard work and we teach them to know the Lord, there's a good chance, man, there's a great chance that their life will be on a much better trajectory than if we wouldn't have. Oh my goodness. I remember my mom was 5'8" and maybe 5'8½". When I was 16, I outweighed her by 60 pounds at least. I mean, I was pretty much the same size I am now. I don't know. And anyway, to buy my first car, I grew up on a farm in Kansas, and a friend of mine and I, we signed up on a harvest crew where you just go, 16-year-old kids, we knew how to drive combines and wheat trucks, and this guy was had a fleet of these things, basically, and he would contract out to harvest these giant fields of wheat in western Kansas and these giant fields of barley in eastern Colorado. They used the barley for Coors beer. Well, anyway, we were cutting all this and working 12 hours a day for 6 weeks straight, and that's how I saved up money to buy my first car. Well, during that time, apparently, I picked up some flowery speech. And I didn't realize it, and I came home, and I will never forget, I had just come home, been home a couple of days, and I was in the kitchen of our farmhouse where I'd grown up, and my mom was in there making dinner or something, and I dropped something or spilled something, I don't remember, but as it happened, I let go of some cuss words she had never heard me say ever in my whole life. And this little 5'8" gal grabbed me by the earlobe and dragged me out of that house to a barn we had on my dad's farm. And she pulled me in there and said, if you're going to talk like that, you can stay out here in the barn. But you let that go and you never bring that back into my house. We don't talk that way here. I don't care how big you are. Man, that gal was tough. She cared that I would know the Lord. She didn't only give me counsel, she gave me this. My left ear still hurts. Do you know I have never said those words again ever in my life? Train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he won't depart from it. Those who spare the rod of discipline hate their children. Those who love their children care enough to discipline them. Discipline a child produces wisdom, but a mother's disgraced by an undisciplined child. My mom wasn't about to have me disgrace her. Point five. Our moms also loved us. They did. We're going to help our kids grow in wisdom and stature and favor with God and favor with men, socially, spiritually, physically, mentally. It's going to take all these things, and it's going to take a whole lot of love. God gives a special kind of love for women. In fact, that's an interesting thing. I don't know if you ever noticed this. This is in Titus. Paul was writing Titus, who was planting churches on the island of Crete. He said, when you get these churches started, Titus, here's an important thing. If this is going to stay long term, it's mission critical. You got to teach the older women to live in a way that honors God. They must not slander others, be heavy drinkers. Instead, they should teach others what is good. And these older women need to train the younger women to love their husbands and their children. You're going to get new converts that don't know how to raise kids, and they don't know how to love kids. By the way, the culture's not going to teach us all these things. Culture's trying to sell us stuff. That's true. So at home is where we're going to learn to fear the Lord and know him. At home is where we're going to learn to work hard and get a good work ethic. At home is where we're going to get godly counsel and the discipline we need. At home is where we're going to experience that kind of love, that stick-to-it love that never quits, that a mom can show, mother love. Love is patient. Paul wrote about this kind of love. It's called agape love. It's 1 Corinthians 13 that Christians are supposed to have for each other. Certainly that a mom should have for her children. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous, boastful, proud, or rude. Doesn't demand its own way. It's not irritable. Keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices when the truth wins out. And listen to this. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, endures through every circumstance. That's a mother's kind of love. I've been to prisons and visited prisoners on visitation days, and there will be moms that are there visiting their sons or visiting their daughters, and that person's never going to get out of prison, and the mom hasn't given up on them, comes every single visitation day. Why? It's a child. And even if the child's guilty, that mother still loves that guilty child. Want more? Well, when God wanted to explain the tender comfort and love that he gives his people, he compared his love to the love that a mother has for her kids. Isaiah 66 and Isaiah 49, I'll comfort you there in Jerusalem as a mother comforts her child. You want to know how much I love you? Like your mama. Ooh, that's a lot. Yet Jerusalem says, the Lord has deserted us. The Lord's forgotten us. Never. Can a mother forget her nursing child? Can she feel no love for the child she's born? But even if that were possible, I wouldn't forget you. This is the Lord speaking. He says, you want to understand how much I love you? I love you more than your mama loved you. And there's a special kind of love God gives mothers for their children. That's a wonderful thing. It's one of the reasons we honor moms. They helped us know the Lord. They worked hard. They gave us godly counsel. They disciplined us. And they loved us. So, if those are good reasons to honor them, how do we do it? Well, here are four ways. One, if we're still living under our parents' roof, still getting our support from them, we can honor our moms by obeying them. I read you Ephesians 6, 2 and 3. Here's Ephesians 6, 1. Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord. It's the right thing to do. Paul's quoting the fifth commandment. The Lord said, hey, if you want a long life in the land I'm giving you, he told the whole nation, he said, this isn't just for you personally, this is for the whole nation. If you want to exist for a long time, for many, many, many centuries as a nation, you got to get this right. Children need to obey your parents because you don't know what you're doing. I gave you parents to advise you, watch over you, to counsel you, to discipline you, to teach you to work hard. You're never going to learn it anywhere else. This is the way God planned it. So if you're still at home, if you're a teenager, college student, living at home, living with parents, obey them. Why? Right thing to do. Where do you get that? Bible. Some of you can use that one. It's the right thing to do. How do you know? Bible. That's a mic drop right there. Bible says so. It does right here. It is the right thing to do. That's the way the Lord made it. It is. And it's important we understand this. Secondly, if we're going to praise and honor our children, we're going to honor our parents or honor our mom. For adult children, we can honor our moms by praising them. Telling them what you admire about them. That's why we went through this whole list. Here's how you help me socially. Here's how you help me spiritually. Thank you. Here's how you help me physically. Here's how you help me mentally. Thank you. Thank you for pushing me to get that degree. Thank you for standing by me when I was sick and taking care of me when nobody else would. Thank you for being with me when that girl broke my heart. Her children stand and bless her. Her husband praises her. There are many virtuous and capable women in the world, but you surpass them all. Reward her for all she's done. Let her deeds publicly declare her praise. Tell people. And by the way, even if your mom's passed away like my mom has, if a mom's passed away, we can honor their legacy by telling our children stories about grandma. You can also, I'm sad I even limited it to our children. You can tell anybody about your mom. When I told you about my mom, I called three of my sisters yesterday just to make sure that, because I couldn't remember exactly how tall mom was, and we were all decided. She was somewhere between 5'8 and 5'9, but she got older, she got below 5'8. She was shrinking a little. I told him that story about mom and dragging me out to the barn. That had happened after a couple of my sisters had left already. They'd gone off to and gotten married and other things. And I said, oh, yeah, now let me tell you my mom's story. I mean, that woman had plans and prayers for each one of us. She used to have a little plaque in her kitchen that said before, because there were six kids, she said, before I was married, I had six philosophies on raising children. Now I have six kids and no philosophies. Number three, if our moms are elderly, we can honor them by caring for them the way they used to care for us. As our bodies age, when we get up in age and other things, we need to take care of our parents. They showed us all kinds of selfless love, never losing faith, sacrificing like crazy. And when they get old, their health fails, our turn comes to return the favor, repay them. Paul talked about this. Take care of any widow who has no one else to care for, but if she has children or grandchildren, their first responsibility is to show godliness at home and repay their parents by taking care of them. This is something that pleases God. God notices. When my parents got old, they needed help. Debbie's father passed away last fall, and her mother is in her late 80s, and she needs more assistance than she used to. We love her, and we want to be a part of that. That's good. Pleases God. Doesn't mean it's always easy to help aging parents. Man, I'll never forget one of the last times I went to visit my mom. She had been so strong early in her life and other things, and I went to visit her, and she held a jar out to me, and she had arthritis in her hand, so she says, John, I can't open this. My mom used to can vegetables. You know what I'm talking about? She had canning jars. She opened 10 million of them in her lifetime. She couldn't open it anymore. There comes a time when the roles are reversed, and we get a chance to repay the favor, and if that's you, when you sacrifice and serve your mom, pleases the Lord. It's the right thing to do. Fourthly, we can honor God by praying for our moms no matter what kind of relationship we may have with them. I mean, some of you could go, well, John, look, yeah, John, great. I'm glad you had this great mom. You don't know my mom. My mom's not even a believer. I haven't talked to my mom in 5 years. I don't know where you are. And if that's the case, I'm sorry. That's painful. One thing that we can do that will honor the Lord, no matter who we are, no matter what situation, we can pray for our moms. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 2, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them, intercede on their behalf, give thanks for them. It's good and pleases God, our Savior. He wants everyone to be saved and understand the truth. We can pray for their salvation. They'll know the Lord. If there's an addiction that ruined, that wrecked the family, maybe we pray that God will free them. There's been some unforgivable hurt, that God would open their mind and they'd be willing to let go of it, and you'd be willing to let go of it and reconcile before they die. And these are things that are close to the heart of God. Came into the world to save sinners. And that's hard to do, but it takes a lot of prayer. It's a way to honor the Lord on Mother's Day. So it's Mother's Day. Paul said, hey, children, honor your parents, your father and your mother. When you do, your life will go well with you. It'll go a lot better when you miss those potholes. You'll live a lot longer when you're not doing crazy, foolish, stupid stuff. Your mama can help you. Listen to her. She'll help you know the Lord. She works hard. She'll give you good counsel. She'll discipline you. She loves you with the love the Lord gives her. Love her back. Listen to her. Honor her. I'm glad we got a day to do that. Will you pray with me, please? Lord, I want to thank you for Mother's Day, and I want to thank you that we can look at what your scripture has to say about the important role that mothers play in our lives. Please, Lord, I pray that you've spoken to us today. If there's somebody we need to pray for, we'll pray for them. If there's some praise we need to give somebody and recognize the contributions and sacrifices they've made with our moms, we'll do that today. Thank you for moms, for giving them a special love for their children. I pray for moms here that are in agony over a son or a daughter who's far away from them today, and their heart is breaking. I pray that you answer their prayers today. And Father, I pray also for somebody who's just aching to reconcile with mom, but mom won't reconcile with them. That you bring healing and forgiveness in a relationship that needs it so badly. We lay all these things at the feet of Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.